B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Happy Monday. So, howdy.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hi.
Happy phase two.
Hardy, I'm sorry I didn't even know if you were going to be there. I know that you're in our Town Fair Tire Studios. I can't see you at the moment, but...
I can't see you either. I forgot to switch the monitors over here. I can't see anybody.
Someone styled his hair today, Beetle.
Is that right?
Oh, looks like we got a little product in there.
Well,
big screen?
It's the first day.
No,
what do you got? School
There's
pictures
no
today?
No hat.
You're not wearing a hat?
No, I got a haircut last week. So this,
sexy.
And, you know, still wore a hat for a couple of days. You know what? You know, it's like a.
Look at you. You're turning into Zoe. You're celebrating it. That's
look
what you're
at
doing.
You. This is great.
It was a big day, that haircut. First haircut I've had since. I literally don't remember. I think I got one at the end of February.
How do you cut around your ears with the mask on?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I had a double haircut. All right. You want to know what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. My neighbor cut my hair, and she did a great.
Is that the one-legged one with no hair? Or is that the other?
My
place?
Neighbor
you
cut
have a
my hair.
Neighbor?
No, I've never had a one-legged neighbor. My neighbor.
Yeah, it said there's
my
one.
My neighbor
he
across
stands on
the
a hill.
Street.
He had to stand on
my
a hill.
My neighbor
to say
across the street. Chris, who is largely useless, we've discussed this on many occasions. He, however, is married to someone who is quite useful, and she has been giving haircuts not only to Chris but to like his friend. And like, this is great. And she's
wait a minute, is that a shot at your wife? Are you taking a own shot at your own wife?
No, I'm taking a shot. I'm taking a shot at Chris.
Oh, okay.
He's useless.
Yeah,
Carrie, not useless. Very, very helpful. She's like, I can cut your hair. I'm like, great. And she did, and she did a great job. It was a little long on top, and I had an appointment at a barbershop, which are very, very difficult to get these days, as you can well imagine. And if you cancel it, you still have to pay like a certain amount. You're like, you know what? I'll go in there, and I'll have them just like shorten up the top a little bit, which they did. So I actually had like, you know, two haircuts inside of a couple few days. Mm-hmm. And this first day without the hat. I'm out there, baby. I'm loving every minute of it. It's great. Cool, right?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Feels so much better.
Yeah. All right, then. We're off and running.
You've been buzzing your own hair, haven't you, Beetle?
I have, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell.
Don't. See?
No. I mean, it looks good. I can tell when he gets a haircut.
No.
I'm not going to
disingenuous.
That's not what you
meant. Now you're just being a disingenuous a-hole. I don't need that.
Yeah. Unkind.
Unkind. That's right. Major League Baseball, according to Jeff Passan. According to Mike O'Brien, Jeff Passan. Jeff Passan, in his math, in a story that he has posted on ESPN, his calculations using data from Major League Baseball's financial statement that they have provided to players. Jeff Passan's math has it narrowed down to this. Major League Baseball owners and their players are $326 million apart. They are now yelling at each other and preventing a season from happening over $326 million. To divide that up, you get about $10 million per team. That's the difference between baseball happening and baseball not happening right
Ooh,
now.
Boy.
How does that make you feel?
It makes you feel like they don't want to play. What? Like you're at a point. I don't know. I don't know
because the gap is.
Small.
Not, yeah. Okay. All right.
Now you're nickel and diming. You're to the point now where I think you're so far past the nickel and diming stage. Whether you wanted the 114 or whether you're going to insult us with the 50, and now it's back to 82, and we're going to meet somewhere in the middle again. I'm getting tired of the back and forth. And now it gets to the money point where now it goes to 326. You average in everybody. Now all of a sudden it only falls into $10 million per team. You're a part, and you're not going to play a professional sport because nobody could come to terms.
This is
and
how
there's
I look
nobody,
at it.
There's no commission. Your commissioner should be shot, should be fired after this, really, if you don't play. If this commissioner can't get these two to come together, he should not come back next year as commissioner of baseball.
The Sad. Counterproposal from baseball is focused now on a close to 50-game schedule, which would be 48 games in their mind.
Uh-huh.
And when you look at all this money, and you look at, the again, about $10 million per team, if you put this to the Red Sox today and said, John Henry, you've got to come up with an additional $10 million for there to be a team. And by the way, that doesn't mean he's going to lose money on the season.
Right.
He's still going to make money. He's going to not make $10 million. He's going to make $10 million less that he's going to have to give over to player salaries. If you went to John Henry or you went to the Steinbrenners or you went to any of the teams that are actually worth their salt,
they'd give a bleep. Yeah.
They'd say, let's
write
do it.
Write it. Write the check. So, let's go.
I think the appropriate question now for baseball is not about the players. Which teams in your sport are holding this up?
Ooh.
Are the Tampa Bay Rays and those owners, those unidentified owners that have been speaking, saying, you know, they'd rather just forget the season and not have it? Are those small market teams the ones that are holding up the deal and preventing baseball from happening this year?
Probably.
Is that what's going on?
Maybe, yeah.
Because the Miami Marlins and Derek Jeter and the Tampa Bay Rays don't want to shell, you know, another $10 million out because maybe they're in a bad market. Maybe they've mismanaged their club. Maybe they've just been bad for a decade or, and I don't know that Tampa Bay really falls into that, but there are plenty of teams that have been bad for a long period of time. And maybe they're not making good money on their TV deals, and local TV revenue is a big part of this for baseball. You know, are those the teams that are saying, forget it, we're the Pittsburgh Pirates, we don't want to have a baseball season? Are those the teams screwing it all up right now? I wonder, because that is not a lot of money, guys. $326 million should not be what stops baseball and its players from getting together and getting a deal done. It seems absolutely insane at this point. And Jeff Passan points out in his story, which is really good, really detailed, and I'm not sure it's great for us talking about it, but I would suggest if you're a baseball fan going and reading this story on ESPN, because it's got a lot of information in there and a lot of numbers, and I don't want to throw all those numbers at you, but they believe the owners are also lying about what the revenues are. They don't buy it. They don't believe them. There's one thing that they agree on, and that is the cost of each game would be $1.674 million to put on each game over the course of a season. That's the only number they agree on, the cost of a game. Salaries, everything that goes into it, that they agree on. They apparently don't agree on anything else. Major League Baseball hasn't exactly opened up their books. They've given them a statement with their estimates of what they will make, and the players say, you're lying to us. You're not telling the truth, because you never tell the truth. Owners never tell the truth to their players in sports. So that's where they're at. $326 million is what's going to shut this entire thing down. Who's getting in the way? That's what I want to know. That's what baseball fans deserve to know right now, because I really highly doubt that it's the Boston Red Sox or the New York Yankees or the LA Dodgers. Any of the teams with real money and real payrolls and real ownership investment that are holding this thing up. The Red Sox would not think twice about that amount of money for getting the season going.
See, and I know you even mentioned guys like Jeter, too. Like, what's your take on this? The reason you have guys like Jeter in the next phase of their life and what they want to do regarding the sport is because that guy gets it. Like, he would, I would assume, even the market, like he hasn't crossed over into being a shrewd businessman, that he would know that it's good for the game that we got to find a way to play this, guys. Like Jeter would be on the play side as opposed to, I'm going to do what's right for this market and this structure of this baseball team here. I don't think so. Because if you have your heart in it, if you love the game the way that guy did, if you played it the way he did and how he's revered, I would say he'd be a guy that said, we got to find a way to get this done. There's going to be small market guys, teams that are going to want to play, but you're right, Beetle. It's teams like probably the Tampa that are saying, like, screw it, F it, let's go. It doesn't matter. Us people aren't going to show up at our place anyway. So must be nice where you guys play in big markets. Yeah.
And there's also a common thread there among some of those teams I mentioned. The Yankees owning their own television network. The Red Sox owning their own television network.
Yes.
I think of a team like the Cubs that just launched their own television network. You're telling me the Chicago Cubs are going to let a season not happen over $10 million?
No.
No shot. No way. They're going to say, nope, we got to bite the bullet. We're still going to make some money. We got to have a season here.
Right.
And that's what the players are saying to them. Shut up and put up the extra money and let's go. That's what they're telling them.
But that's what ownership ultimately has to decide, isn't it, Beetle? It's like, we're still going to make, we're not going to make a lot of money. We might even lose some money, but we got to have a season. We can't afford to not play baseball at all this season. And even if it's unfairly, be viewed as the ones that stopped it from happening. We can't allow that. The PR hit, the marketing hit, everything about it would be so bad, especially with the other sports playing. We have to do it. And that's what they have to decide. Obviously, they're not going to make as much money. They may lose. I don't know. Unless they open up the books, who knows? Who knows if they're making any, if they're making a lot, if they're making a little, or if they're losing it. It doesn't matter. It's going to it might cost you. It might cost you this year to put on a baseball season. Do you want to? Or are you willing to just say, nah, screw it. Not worth it. Not worth it. I mean, these guys are all like shrewd businessmen for the most part. What? And that, you know, most every one of them will tell you, oh, if you're in business, the business to be in isn't sports. You know, you can make a lot more money in oil futures. You can be John Henry and come up with some kind of an algorithm that can help you predict crop prices or however the hell he made his billions. He didn't make his billions by owning a baseball team. It's done very well for him, obviously, but no, this is not something that you do ultimately because it's the best business to be in.
And by the way, the difference of the $326 million is derived from Jeff Passan making the assumption that the best thing for baseball would be an 82-game season. So the difference between 48 under the prorated number and 82, paying them the full prorated number of half a season's pay, that included is $326 million. So the owners would still get an 82-game season, would still be able to get half of their local TV revenue, and that is the number that Passan's going on, not even the 48-game season. He's saying if you play 82, you're on the hook for $326 million less based on their data, which is, you know, suspicious to begin with. It's 326. It may be less than that, that they are apart. And, Hardy, you're right. Who should want the season more is a good question, too. Who should be more desperate to get a deal done?
I would think the owners.
You would think the owners. That's why it's so disheartening to hear that there are some that just don't care and say, oh, forget it, don't play.
Right.
That those owners do exist in the sport. That's sad. And as far as some of the anger from players toward owners and the lack of trust of players toward owners, there's an example out there today of why players feel the way they do about owners in baseball. We'll get to that coming up in your calls. 617-779-0985. It feels like baseball players and owners are too close not to get a deal done. We've got football today to get to, some more details on the NBA as well later on. And Bruce Arena joins us today.
My man.
We'll have Bruce Arena with us at 12:50, head coach and sporting director of the of the New England Revolution. He'll be with us at 12:50 today. So we got a lot to get to here on this
Cockiest
Monday.
Coach in town. Cockiest
yes,
coach in
love
town.
Love that guy.
Ball breaker.
That's all coming up today right here on Zolak and Bertram.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At this point, I really feel like with the two sides absolutely dug in, that the owners who have more access to wealth and they're the long-term stewards of the game really need to step out and make a significant concession, step out of the middle ground. And if they do that, then the Players Association needs to recognize it and needs to build off it. perhaps take some salary concessions to help free agency in the fall, but something that allows them to bridge into the future so that next spring and the fall of 2021, when we continue to have this conversation about labor relations, that the two sides can build on something, and on top of that, that they can mitigate the damage that they've already done to the sport.
Buster only, ESPN saying owners need to step up, get this season going, come to an agreement. Maybe it's the owners that need to be a little bit more united in this to get a season put together. That might be part of it. A big part of these discussions between both sides, the MLBPA, Tony Clark, and players, is there's a, I think, some sort of distrust of players when it comes to the owners. I don't think they trust them all that much. And to get
they won't open their books. What they want them to do is open their damn books. Let's see your money. Let's see what's really keeping us from apart. Who wants to make money? Who doesn't? You know?
And I really don't know that the players have put up that sort of fight, which they should have. They should
not
be putting up that
right.
fight, but they haven't. They haven't demanded it. They don't trust the numbers they're being given. Here's one example, and this is an example that has applied to every team, many of the major market teams. It has applied to the Red Sox. And that is, when players come up in baseball, they feel like it is a bad faith system. And this story, which was just written on ESPN, highlights George Springer. It says, consider the case of George Springer, whose big league career began with an act of bad faith. In 2013, Springer, who was a first-round pick by the Astros in 2011, had an OPS over 1,000 playing in double and triple A. Nobody could argue with a straight face that Springer wasn't a major league caliber player and not among the organization's top 30 players when September call-ups were chosen. They did not call him up at the end of 13. He clearly deserved to be on a major league roster with a chance to play at the major league level by that point. But as it happens in many cases, and as this story reads, but not only did the Astros keep him in the minors at the end of that season, they held him out of the big leagues until April 16th of the following year to delay his free agency by a year. Forget the arbitration case that was decided earlier this year. Everybody in baseball understands why it is that Chris Bryant's rookie season debut didn't happen until April 17th. Why so many of baseball's elite prospects magically transform into big leaguers after 2+ weeks in April. This gesture of bad faith has already cost Springer tens of millions of dollars. He should have been a free agent last fall. It might have gotten a contract in the range of $150 to $200 million, but instead, he was just days short of free agency before a winter in which Max Scherzer, Anthony Rendon, and Steven Strasburg set new contractual benchmarks. And now, after this season in 2020, he'll reach the open market that has been completely reshaped by the global pandemic and labor strife. So the Astros handled it within the rules, but a question would be, you know, why should George Springer do any favors for the owners of the Houston Astros, for Jim Crane and the Astros, given that they've never done him any solids? In fact, they've tried to suppress his value and keep him under control longer. And so it's a manipulation of the rules. It's the way a lot of teams do it. And they have a system with service time that has led to some bad faith decisions on the part of owners to keep the values down and keep paying players less. Now he's going to go to free agency at 31 because he would have gone to free agency at 30 had it not been for the fact that he is now one single day shy, service time-wise, of being free agent eligible. So he could come back this year, play a game, and then say to the Astros, ow, ow, my ankle hurts. I have to go on the DL. You know, like... He could do that. He could do that and then go home.
Would he do it, though? That's the question. Now,
no, I mean, I don't know that he would. But
I don't think he would. But it's just.
But in theory, he could.
Yeah, he can. And it's the part that pisses you off, right? What, 100 to 150 million he potentially is not going to get paid? or what he could have made or what he could have got if he hit it. And this is part of the sport that sucks.
Like, rookie deals in the NFL are more fair than those deals.
Yeah, and that's even changed over the years. You know, the control of the four and the five and the number. And I understand all that. And I understand if you're baseball and this is our right. We can do this. This is why we have these dates and things set where we can move guys up and down. And I understand that. But it's the dirty part of the game that, pisses you off as a player. This is another thing, like, where you look at it and say, okay, is it really a 326 keeping us apart, $10 million, and you're going to do it to guys like this? And here we are. We're not going to even have a season. But I'm with you on that. I would, if I was him, play one game, then sit down, but he would not do that. I don't think he'd do that.
No, but every bump and bruise he has, he should be asking, Brian, I need a day off.
I need 2 weeks. Give me 2 weeks, get this right.
Yeah, the other thought.
It's a little tight, guys.
The other thought was that if he slumps, if he has a bad year going into free agency, he could make it about an injury.
How do you determine a bad year on 50? Say they play 50 games. You know how streaky some guys are. Some guys might go 30 at bats without getting a hit. How do you even term it a bad or a down year given everything that they haven't done? They can't get together. They can't play baseball. We'll get into some of the hockey stuff later. Like, what's the expectations with some of these guys coming back? I have no clue with the baseball part of it. I mean, that's hand-eye. You got to have that bat speed. It's like golf. You got to get out there. You got to hit bucket after bucket. You got to hit ball after ball. And they theoretically haven't been doing that or shouldn't have been doing that, right, in the middle of a pandemic. So how do you expect these guys to come back and be humming the second this thing starts? I don't know how you expect them to do that.
Danny's in East Boston. Hi, Danny.
Hi. I'm just calling because you guys brought up it would be about $10 million each owner, but you didn't bring up how much it would be each player. I did the math. It's like 600 players in the league. It's like $500,000. That's what they're bickering over, too. Both sides are wrong.
Yes and no, because I don't think it's as simple going the other way, because on an 82-game season, the proposal does not – there's no way to even out that money. How do I explain this?
I don't know.
Hardy and I were talking about the taxes on the players and on the salaries. That is not the proposal. So you can say that in theory, and maybe the owners would take that dollar amount and say, okay, everybody take X amount less off the top to make up the difference of the $326 million. But that proposal is not on the table, if that makes sense. So I guess you're right. I guess the players could go ahead and take that cut. The difference would just be how do they disperse it, so to speak? How do they break that up among players? And I think if you're going to propose that, you would put a higher number on the more higher paid players,
I would, so to speak. Yeah, I would think so. But you're not going to take the entire salary away from a guy making a league minimum. So if it did turn out to be that $500,000 number per player, but.
And I'm going to tell you what, and why if I were a player, I wouldn't feel that way. Like, I would even consider taking that money off, right, is because in all the other years, do you think there's been a year where a Major League Baseball made an extra $326 million that they didn't then turn around and give to the players or make sure they evenly distribute among the players? I mean, that's the risk and reward of the system, right?
Yes.
In the good years, the owners get all the extra. The players don't get any of it.
Right.
Right? All the good years that baseball has had when they've had record revenues, they didn't turn around and then say, you know what, we're going to pay a little extra to the players. In fact, during years of record revenue, they've constantly faced charges and allegations of collusion in the sport and keeping prices in free agency down. So, no, baseball does not get any credit for that, because in the good years, the risk that they take is a risk that they're facing right now, that there's a bad year, that there's something that gets in the way. So I don't understand why the players would feel obligated to take any of those cuts to make up that $326 million difference.
I wouldn't do that. No. That's on the owners.
No. I wouldn't either. Especially when that is based on data and numbers and financial figures given by the owners and their side, which they just claim these are the numbers. And there's another item of contention is that players feel, as Jeff Passan points out in his story, that the teams that own their own networks, the Yankees owning Yes Network, the Red Sox owning NESN, that in that they're hiding money, because what they can do is they can manipulate the income from television networks into the team. When the team and the television network are owned by two different parties, then the television network has to give an offer and bid for the rights to the games and pay, let's say it's $100 million is what the market value is. When the same guy owns both, you can say, oh, it's only worth $50 million, when in fact it's worth $100 million, but that's $50 million less reported as income to the baseball team, when in fact the TV network just makes a lot more money. And oh, guess where the profits of the TV network go? Oh, right at, into the left pocket of the owner, while the baseball profits go into the right pocket. Does that make sense? You can hide money that way.
Yes.
By owning your own network. And that's something that owners are facing right now, too. They're facing that allegation from players. They feel like the regional sports networks that are owned either partially or fully by the teams are burying money and hiding it from them. And that their television, local television revenues are higher than what is actually reported, so to speak. 617.
Want them to show them their books, you know?
Which they're not going to do. They're never going to do it.
No.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. We got open lines. You want to jump on board? Here's Hardy with headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap when the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is the telephone number.
How are you on a Monday? Monday. All right. Attack another week here.
You know, I never go to MLB.com.
Why?
But today I decided to. Because
you don't
I
like
sort
the,
of,
you don't like it as a site. You don't like the writers. You don't like the format.
It's just like, you know, it's like NFL.com. Actually,
you got a baseball reference.
You know what? I don't even want to compare it to NFL.com because NFL.com has some decent national stuff on their site. But MLB.com has always sort of felt like just advertising for the league, which is fine.
It's profit, right? For Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's propaganda. Okay? Just fine. And I wonder what's on the league's website right now. Like, what are they doing? What are they up to?
And probably all in this together. I'm one of those like video.
Well, they're heavily. I don't know. I'm laughing. I'm looking at the latest news stories. What if A-Rod had been drafted by the Dodgers? That's the top news item. Top right, latest news. What if A-Rod had been drafted by the Dodgers? Wow. Do you know when your sport really needs to get back to work? When you're contemplating things like, what if A-Rod 25 years ago had been drafted? Even more than that. What year was A-Rod drafted?
Like, I don't know. What if Joe Montana had gone to Notre Dame? I don't know. Yeah. It's like all kind of things you could say. Who the hell even comes up with that?
Like, that's they
what
need
if
content.
A-Rod really? What if what would have been better is if what if A-Rod really got traded to the Boston Red Sox? Like, people forget about that. You know,
like what is this?
That'd
this
be
is what we're doing. Go to your website and look at the fact that you are promoting the big picture item in the middle of the screen. Draft week is here. You ready? Question mark.
No.
I didn't even realize the draft was happening this week. I know
nobody
this is the time of
your
year it always
got their
happens.
Head up their ass. Yeah, now we're supposed to care about the baseball draft?
Like, yeah. June 10th, 7 p.m., MLB Network and ESPN.
Oh.
Everybody tune in. Guys, Wednesday night. Be in front of the TV at 7 p.m. The draft is happening.
I think it's two nights, and it's 5 hours each night or something.
Oh,
it is.
Even
June
better.
June 10th and 11th. It begins
Hardy,
at
let's
5
do a cookout
PM
at your house. We'll do a cookout or something, and we get in a hot tub. We can wall watch it, put a TV out there.
So to answer that question, am I ready? No.
Have Wall over. John Wall could come over and do the play-by-play on it.
I'm not ready
Wall
for any of that.
Excited about it. Wallach loves that baseball draft.
Red Sox have the 17th overall pick. I'm not ready, Zoe. I'm not ready for that.
What should they do? Should they trade up or should they stay there and pick a guy? I don't know.
Okay, okay, but you laugh at the notion of it. I brought this up when we were going through everything about the NFL draft and how some people just lose their minds. It's like, it's my favorite thing. Jim Lau, it's the sporting event of the century, the NFL draft. It's the best thing ever. I'm like, you really like the draft, huh? Yeah, you can't. Like, Jim, do you like baseball? Yeah. When's the last time you watched the baseball draft? Never. Exactly. You just, like, you get told.
There's a difference.
Yeah, well,
there's
Nikhil Harry doesn't go to Greenville to play for 3 years and then get up to the Red Sox. Like, the Patriots, like, this is, they're on the team. Those guys are on the team.
There's
NFL draft is worth your time. NBA draft is worth your time. Those are the top two
minor
drafts.
Leaguers. They won't even pay their damn minor leaguers.
The NHL draft isn't half bad. The NHL draft is far more watchable than Major League Baseball's. Major League Baseball? Really hard? You're going to compare Major League Baseball to the NFL?
Drafting in general. Draft shows in general. And I'll give you the NBA draft because, number one, it's quick. And number two, I'd say most people watching it, if you're invested enough to watch the NBA draft, you have an idea who these players are. You saw them in the tournament. You've had a chance to access their highlight. You have an idea of what they would be like as an NBA player. The NFL, who knows? Who knows? You really don't know. And I would also argue that so many people who claim to love it haven't watched any of these players. They haven't watched the majority of them because you can't watch every college football game. But you can watch a fair amount of college basketball when tournament time comes around, and you get a chance to at least see these guys in glimpses, and it doesn't take nearly as long. It's over quick. Okay, you got it. Your team needs a center. Did they get a center? Yes, no, easy. I had a football roster of all these guys, and it happened again. It happened again to Patriots fans this year. All of the hand wringing. And what are they going to do? Are they going to move up? They're going to get a quarterback. Where do they end up? Who was their first overall pick? Right. Was that a position of need the Patriots drafted for? In all our conversations, his name ever get brought up? It's just a waste of time. More often than not, all the talk about the NFL draft ends up being a waste of time. So, no, I've never watched 1 second of the Major League Baseball draft, ever. I don't even know if they televise it. Who cares? I mean, obviously, we have ways to, you know, view it this year, as we've been talking about. But,
right, would you?
But to think that it is so ridiculous that anybody would watch a draft, well, a lot of people watch some drafts that I argue have not a whole lot of meaning either. They just don't.
Mark is in Beverly on Major League Baseball.
Hey,
Mark.
You just hate drafts.
I do. Yeah, I really do. As a sports event.
Live sports on tonight.
Live
damn elf. Yeah.
It's not live sports.
Mark, go ahead.
Mark.
I think he may have hung up because I put him up in the muted him. Well, call us back. Call us back, Mark.
Hey, Hardy.
Yeah, here's your problem. It's not that you hate drafts. That's fine. You don't like drafts. But to lump them all together as being equally bad, I will stand up against 100 out of 100 times. I won't stand for that.
No, I can still rank them.
Yeah.
I can still rank them and say that the NBA draft has some value to it. And followed by shows it what a big person I can be. I'll even put the NFL draft second. How do you like that? But
is that because the time required to be invested in the NBA draft is so much less?
Pretty much after pick 15, you're good.
Right, like that's it. You can watch a couple of hours.
What are the top
the NBA
10 picks?
Draft?
And they turn it off.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You can watch a couple of hours and walk away, and you're done. You already saw it. You saw everything there is to know.
Yeah, actually, say watch 5 picks because really, like maybe 2 or 3 influential players that are going to go
The NHL draft. Oh, yeah, because I'd spend so much of my time watching college and junior hockey.
That's pretty much what it was for Bruins the other
day.
It's
pretty much all I do, you know, college and junior worlds, all the junior tournaments. I seek them out, you know, on those channel numbers up in the thousands. Stop it.
Big on those, Hardy. Big on the juniors tournaments.
I love hockey, but I'm not watching the NHL draft ever.
Well, you don't want to go over and sit with Bedard and watch the juniors play?
Because I don't pretend Bedard's to know things that I don't know. Oh, I have crazy. No idea. No clue.
You know what's funny? We learned something else this morning. It's phase two, by the way, beginning today in Massachusetts. Which
yeah,
means
happy
to
go outside and eat day, people.
The most notable thing is outdoor dining is now available at most restaurants. We learned something about Hardy that he also hates. It's not just drafts that he hates. He hates outdoor dining. Ugh. We need to address that. We'll do it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're here today to provide an update on Phase 2. With the help of the Reopening Advisory Board, we've mapped out a gradual, phased-in plan to reopen our economy based on the public health data with measures in place to keep fighting the virus. We're asking people to follow new safety protocols, to rethink the way they interact with customers, to stagger work schedules, and to work remotely. This is on top of our request for people to keep their distance, wear face coverings, and do without several forms of gatherings and socializing. We've been successful in bending the curve on COVID-19, and the metrics reflect that progress. We're also expanding the list of outdoor recreation opportunities so that families can enjoy time outside of pools, playgrounds, and spray decks. And I hope Phase 2 will offer some different kinds of outlets for kids.
Phase 2 underway today in Massachusetts, which means outdoor dining, browsing in retail establishments, both part of new things you can do again here in Massachusetts. Outdoor dining, a big one. For a lot of people, including Zoe, we know how much he loves outdoor dining. You know, he's been very big on that. He's traveled to make sure that he can do that. Makes him feel human again.
On a whole seven miles away. Yep.
So he's you must be excited about this today, Zoe. You must enjoy this.
Oh, I'm geeked up, man. I'm excited for especially a couple close friends that have establishments. One here in town, one outside of town. They've worked diligently and. They've been patient as much as they don't agree with the governor and what he's done and how he's phased this thing in, but they're trying to get seating as much as they can outside in their space, and they've actually expanded some space, and I'm going to be heading over there tomorrow.
So dining can be done outdoors, tables 6 feet apart, and no more than six people at a table. And we were just talking about this off the air this morning, like, oh, yeah, restaurants back open and outdoor dining like it is in other places, And we learned through that conversation that Hardy does not appreciate or have any desire to eat outdoors.
Do you like to sit outside on your back deck? Just let me ask you that, Beetle.
All the time.
Have a sandwich or a drink or maybe light the citronella candle, watch your kids jump through the sprinkler, and maybe have a meal out there on a table out there.
I sat out on my back deck on Friday night, for 5 hours.
Oh, that sounds great.
From 7 to midnight on Friday, I was out on my back deck with the tiki torches up and running.
So you like eating outside. You do. Yeah.
And there was drinking going on outside.
Oh,
but,
that's odd. It's even better.
Well.
It was nice.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
You know how much time I've been spending?
Enjoyed the hell out of it.
You know how much time I spent on both my back deck and front porch? Oodles of time. Back and forth. Sit on the back deck. Sit on the front porch. With chairs. No table to sit at and eat because...
Because you're screwed.
I'm not. No.
You're a miser.
I'm not eating out there.
You're a cranky old uncle.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it.
Look, and I'll go to a restaurant to eat outside, A, to support the businesses, and B, just because at some point I'm sure we're all going to want to go out for a meal of food, as a family. So, yeah,
right.
I'll do it. But given the choice, would you like to sit inside or outside? Inside is fine. Thank you. The first thing I love is the
rock. What about like a nice 75-degree day? Like, you don't want to be, you don't want to enjoy the outdoors at all?
You got an alcoholic umbrella.
How often do you get that perfect sit outside and eat weather? with the right humidity.
Well, this is the time of
the
year
right
for
temperature.
It. Right now. Today.
May and June.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm working right now, so I can't go outside and have
right
lunch
now.
Right
oh,
now.
Later today. He means right now as in this
time
of year.
We'll find out later today, but very rarely do I go outside and say, you know what would make this perfect right now is if I had a big plate of pasta in front of me. No, I'm either...
Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example.
And right? Here's something else. Here's something else I don't care for. The sit around and eating for hours and hours thing. Let's make the meal an event. I'd like to eat and then get on with whatever else I'm doing. I am generally the first one up. It's like, okay, everyone close to being done. I'll get up and go on and move on. I don't need to sit around for all this time. And especially at some of these outdoor places.
Well, that's Zoe's deal, too. That's Zoe's thing. He hates the people that ordered the dessert or a cup of coffee. He loses his mind.
Hours.
He's got to leave.
No.
Yeah. Like, he's got somewhere to go.
It's the jack wagon that orders the decaf coffee because he's got to have the taste of coffee. And it's Capello. Really? You need the coffee even though you don't want real coffee? You're going to get decaf?
I'm glad you brought up Capello. He texted me directly before we even started. He said, you're not alone. Outside eating is dreadful. I'd rather eat in my car.
You want to stand with Capello on anything?
Yes.
You want to stand with Mark Capello?
On certain things?
That's what you want to do?
Absolutely.
I'm not hitching myself to that wagon.
I've eaten outside with him, and he has requested to eat outside, especially when we're on the road.
Okay.
We're down there. We're sucking down crabs.
Certain places on the road, you're trying to take in as much as you can. And in Miami, had a couple of meals outside, and they were very nice. But you're in Miami Beach in February, okay? So, or in late January. So this is a time when you really appreciate the warm weather.
We went to that restaurant. The three of us went to that place, and we ate outdoors that day.
I just said a couple of times.
You didn't put up a fight? You didn't put up a fight?
Yes, because when the weather is nice and back home, it's awful. It's like, okay, let's take in as much of this nice weather as
you can. Now I get what you're saying. Sorry.
But you're also near the ocean. Did you have were there any bug problems in South Beach?
Absolutely not.
No, and plus they're equipped for it. Around here, a lot of places, we got the outdoor tables. What are they like? Oh, there's a piece of crap wrought iron that we've had for 50 years. It's half rusted and wobbly.
That's true. And now you're hitting on a valid point. That one is true.
And the chairs are uncomfortable. Yeah, the table doesn't feel quite right, and it kind of smells like rust. And in some cases, you're 4 feet away from the street or people walking by. I'm like, I don't want people walking 2 feet away from me. I'm sitting here, trying to eat a dang quesadilla.
I love that.
Just
love that.
Leave me be. Put me inside in the air conditioning. I'm
Newberry
fine.
Street,
no
so
bugs.
Stephanie's
a real
outside,
table. A real chair.
By, normalcy. It sucks.
I don't need it. I don't even need it at home. Oh my God. That's delightful. You know what? Put some mayo on that sandwich and then. Bring it out in the blazing sun, why don't you? Nothing like a nice cold-cut sandwich and then eat it when it's 88 degrees and humid out here.
Well, 88 and humid is different. I'm talking about 75 and comfortable.
I think you live in a dream world.
80 and comfortable.
I don't know if you've noticed. We go from winter to summer now. There is no spring anymore.
And they got
tents
out for
these people.
There's
been a lot of nice days recently.
It's not like you're sitting there and the sun's beating down on your forehead. They have tents there you could eat under.
Let me give you an example. Ready, Hardy? An early June game at Fenway Park, and you go to the cask before the game, and you get the option to go inside or eat on the sidewalk.
Nightmare.
You got to sit inside the back where it's
no
dark.
Way. Yeah. I will take that patio seating 10 times out of 10.
Not Hardy.
Yes.
Not a
some hot
chance.
Chicken wings in the sun.
With the blue cheese. Yeah, put the blue cheese over there in the direct sunlight. And then I can't wait for these guys to walk by and start, arguing on the sidewalk and everything else. Yeah, 18 inches away from where I'm trying to eat. No, thank you. I'll go
about
inside.
What that girl went to the
Hardy, the cask.
Hardy wasn't with us. Zoe and Jim Louth, do you guys remember when we were in Houston for the Super Bowl a couple of years ago? We went to a
cheesecake factory that had
outdoor patio.
Oh,
was that not one of the nicest outdoor seating spots you'd ever been to?
We're like crank up those outside heaters. They had those things on. We just sit down and we're the only ones out there, and they bring drinks and food and everything.
Every
great.
Restaurant should do it like that.
Invest in the
outdoor seating. Make it bigger.
All I know is that when I went to that Cheesecake Factory with you guys, one of those visits in Houston, and we sat inside and it was
no,
delightful.
That's the Minnesota trip. You got a different trip on your mind. That was Minnesota.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I only went to that one in Houston one time.
Maybe. I don't know.
Minnesota's the one where we all went out and sat there indoors.
I don't put it this way.
I like those Super Bowl chips where Louth walks across the
street. As you can tell, this show likes the Cheesecake Factory.
Yes. We love it.
What would you consider the Miami dinner there, the Italian place?
Well, that was absolutely outdoors.
We kind of had a roof over our head, but we were outdoors on that little side strip there.
It was nice.
Was I there?
Thought it was
great. Were you with us, Hardy? I thought you were with us, no?
No, it was me, you, Capello, and Polonsky, Josh Polonsky.
That's right. And Maz was there, too.
Polonsky.
Maz went that time?
Didn't Maz go? No?
I thought it was me, you, Capello, Polonsky. I thought it was four
of us.
Maybe
I'm completely misremembering it.
Yeah. Jeez.
Jesus, love.
We're all waving the towels out there on the patio. The music going. It's great. It's great atmosphere.
Oh, that was one of your first. That's your first day down there.
It was first night. It was Sunday night. It was the first day we got
Damn
down
it,
there.
Damn it, I missed that.
Seriously, though, it's like if you get all the conditions just right, you know, with the umbrella to block part of the sun, and the temperature is like 72 degrees, and you know, there's no insects or anything bothering you. You know what you've just described? The perfect indoor dining experience. Room temperature, sun not beating down on you, no bugs. You know where I got that? 4 feet that way inside at my kitchen counter. That's where I'll go eat. You guys go outside. But good luck, because I refuse to have a table where you can eat at outside. Not doing it.
You know what else bugs you too is when you're eating outside? And I love eating outside. I'm always select to eat outside. Because I people watch, too. I love people watching. I like the interaction. I like the fights out there. I like the one person trying to go to the bathroom. You know what bugs you, though? The little girl coming up, and she got a big thing of flowers, and she's trying to hawk roses at, like, that 9:30 at night. I'm like, what are you doing here, little girl?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The parents.
The children.
That is.
No, I mean, there's some evil adult putting this little kid up to this, you know? And you feel bad, and you buy the rose, and you can take the rose, you leave the rose on the table. You know, what do you do? Take back to your hotel room?
So he hates outdoor dining.
Well, and Zoe hates the beggars.
Not beggars, peddlers.
Well,
the peddlers that come up to you.
You described it as kind of a street urchin type of scenario.
It's kind of very, cool when you
very
go,
Dickens
when you go
type description
when
of the
you're overseas
of the, and of the girl peddling the flowers put up to it by her evil step parents.
She's going to get a bowl of porridge as a reward when she gets it.
Right. Have some more, please.
Right.
Would you like some flowers?
You know what you brought? The kids thing, though?
Mama picked these flowers yesterday.
You know what the most I've ever eaten outside in my life was when we had young kids. You want to know why? Because they can run around a little bit. So now that my kids are grown enough to sit still, we don't eat outside. Because if you do, you got all the little kids running around.
I got bugger.
That's nice.
This is great. One of the great things about one of my favorite spots.
I was just really tired of the Oliver Twists hanging around the Olive Garden.
Hardy,
isn't
that great, though? Like, when you got a kid, and Beatles going to figure this out, too, because Beatles kids are hitting that age. Well, you could go sit and eat at a restaurant, and then the one restaurant that's got the fountain with the little pennies in there and that, their kids get to get in there and play with the water with the hands, and it entertains them. And then you're sitting there thinking, should get the kid to wash their hands before they eat their chicken fingers? Or should I make them? Nah, just they're fine.
Zo, what if the little girl peddling the roses was local? Does that change it?
You'd have to tip her.
If that's for sure. If I knew that she was, say she was like classmates with my kid in school, or I knew the parents that were making her peddle the flowers, I would have probably bought the whole bouquet off her. Yeah.
Are you trying to bring back the word peddle? Peddlers?
You brought it back. I didn't
know.
You came up with the peddler.
You're talking about kid peddling flowers. I mean, it's quaint.
If you want to bring it back,
I'll help. I just don't know. Is it a dedicated campaign? Or is it just slipped out a couple of times?
There's a flower pedal. There's a bike you can pedal.
Yeah, but this is different. This is a P-E-D-D-L-E-R, I believe.
Yeah, pedal.
Peddler. If you want to bring it back, I hope you'll bring it back. It's just...
You brought it back.
You're using it a lot.
Yeah, you brought it back. You said the peddler.
A lot of peddling talk.
So.
617-779-0985. There was more in the NFL over the weekend as it related to recent events in the world. And, well, Roger Goodell has put out a video, and we have more of the backstory on the players' video that appeared at the end of last week. We'll get to those items and your calls. Phone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.